This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9. You are listening to Joy 94.9 with Leo on the Friday morning show. Now, my next guest is no stranger to hard work. We used to wake up with her every morning on Seven Sunrise with Koshi. She now serves up with our evening news each weeknight on Seven. She's a journalist, TV presenter, guest speaker, an author, and a mum of two. I don't know how she does it personally, but anyway, welcome to Joy 94.9, Melissa Doyle.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I am really well, doll. Now, Joy 94.9 is Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station in our 21st year here in Melbourne. Now, I understand that you got your first start in community radio when you were at university, is that right?
I went to uni in Bathurst, and there was a community radio station in Bathurst, so I used to go and read the local news nice and early. I'd hop on my bicycle, I'd ride down the hill at something like 5 o'clock in the morning in the freezing cold. Anyone that knows Bathurst knows how cold it is. And read on the local community radio station. I was kind of one of those kids that I did loads of work experience everywhere that would take me when I was at school. Every TV station, any newspaper, any radio station, anywhere I could go, I would rock up and make the coffee or fetch the papers or do anything.
Now, you started your TV career in 1990 at the Wynn Television in Canberra before moving to Channel 7 in 1995. Now, of course, you went on to host Sunrise in those early days of Sunrise. I mean, it didn't really reign supreme. Channel 9 ruled the roost, but yeah. You guys turned it around. Looking back, you must feel quite proud of Sunrise and how that just took off.
Thank you. It's really sweet of you to say. We did. You know, we started and we were... Channel 9 was this massive big juggernaut that I grew up watching, the Today Show, and... I can remember celebrating when we got 50,000 viewers. And, you know, our theory was Channel 9 was doing what they were doing with the Today Show and doing a great job. So we needed to come in and do something different. And we were a lot more relaxed. We were a little bit like FM radio on TV. And, you know, we were called Koshi and Mel rather than full names. And we tried to engage viewers. We used to read out emails from viewers. And we just tried to have a different approach. You know, instead of covering an issue of politics and having the politician on, where most people zone out, to be frank, we would get an expert on and analyse that issue. So we tried to do things a little bit differently. And over the years, it grew to become what it is now. So, yeah, I look back with pride on what we did, on what we stood for, issues that we campaigned on, stories that we covered. I'm really, really proud, I think, more than anything, of engaging conversation with people, getting them to think about things. I went to some places and did some stories that, you know, most viewers probably never would in their life. And I could say to them, hey, guys, this is an issue that you really need to think about, or this is something you need to look at, or I want to show you this. So, yeah, that's a pretty cool feeling.
And as with all TV presenters, you're in our living rooms every day. It's almost like the public know you, which is quite weird. But breaking the news stories, I remember when you were pregnant with your second child, Talia, on screen. And I even remember those old hairdos as well, Mel. How do you think the public have perceived you over the years?
Oh, I've got no idea how anyone else perceives me. I guess that's not something I can ever think about or control. I look at myself as, you know, I'm a journalist. First and foremost, I'm a journalist, and my role came with it a profile that it wasn't what I focused on. So it was a byproduct, I guess, of the job. And I guess I got to share my life and viewers' lives. And, you know, I still meet people today who say, oh, I had a child at the same time as you. How's your daughter? Or I've done this. Or, you know, we've kind of grown up together in a really lovely way. So I hope, you know, I look back at the hairstyles and the outfits, but hey, that reflected the time and the fashions and all of those things. So it's like anyone else might have embarrassing photos in their album and they can hide them away. Me, I can't hide them.
Now, last year you left Sunrise and you took on a news anchor and presenting role on 7 News with Matt White and the afternoon news as well. Now, all those years of early starts and getting up so early, how has your life changed since then? And are you more, I guess, relaxed, and do you have more time for yourself?
Look, I'm still as busy as ever, but you know, that's who I am. I'm not someone ever who really wants to just, I need to keep busy. I like to do things. I like to make the most of my time on this earth. But my life has changed so much. Just, you know, sleep used to just dominate my thoughts every day, whether I had enough, what time. I used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would go to bed at 7:30 at night. My kids would tuck me in. I had no social life. I wouldn't go out during the week. We'd go out on a Saturday night and I'd nod off in entree at 8:30. So the biggest impact has just been getting regular hours. I get up now at 6:30, get the kids ready, take them off to swimming, school, whatever they're doing that morning. I go to bed at a normal time. I come home. My husband now has to share the remote control with me because, you know, I'm there to watch TV with him at night. We go out. We go out with friends. We go out together, the two of us, and have a bite to eat. It's sort of all those normal things that I have not done for so very long. And it's really nice to be able to embrace that part again of my life. And so that's really been the biggest impact. You know, doing a bit of exercise. I've been going to the gym in the mornings. And just, I guess, you know, you don't realise how hard. Ask any shift worker out there or new parent. Sleep deprivation is tough. So I'm happy I'm getting a bit of rest.
Now, my special guest this morning is one of this country's most loved TV presenters and newsreaders, Melissa Doyle. Now, stick around. We're going to chat more about your new book, which is out right now. My special guest this morning on the show is Melissa Doyle. Thanks for sticking around, Mel. Now, I've been reading your book, Alphabet Soup, this week, and I love how the various stories in your life and how you cope as a working mum. But what I love about the book is that anyone can relate to it. Myself as a gay man, I struggle to pay the bills with my day job, and trying to manage, I guess, this career is quite difficult. And at times I'm quite time poor. But how have you learnt to juggle your work-life balance over the years?
Yeah, I think for me, I never used to be organised. I was so one of those people that would go with the flow. It was always fine. You know, I was never late, but I didn't, you know, I always got there. It was all cruisy. And then now I'm so meticulous, and I've got a big planner on the wall, and I've got to be organised and keep the kids organised. And, you know, it's almost like I run it like a military operation sometimes. But yeah, I think we all go through phases. I look at it that, you know, my kids for the last 10 years probably were a lot more demanding of my times with their needs than now. My son's about to turn 13, and, you know, they're getting a little bit older and they can do more by themselves and they become a bit more independent. And, you know, look, hopefully if I'm on this earth for 100 years, we're talking 15, 20 years where it's pretty intense as far as looking after the kids. And, you know, it's really not very much time. So it's kind of okay. I think you come out the other end and you can then find more time for yourself or whatever it might be. So I kind of ebbs and flows, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I try to be really organised. But having said that, you know, some weeks it's great. I nail it. Everything's fantastic. It's sorted. I'm doing a happy dance because I think, yeah, this is really good. And then the following week it all goes to the dogs. There's no food in the fridge and I've completely forgotten to hand a note in at school and I can't find my keys. And, you know, I sort of think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? So it's really quite funny. Sometimes it, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Now, as a person, I guess, in the public eye, there's expectations of you to offer your time and support various charities and events. Now, we have the Good Friday Appeal coming up in a few weeks. You must get inundated with requests to support various organisations. In the book, you talk about saying no. You can't do everything. How do you choose what to support and what not to support?
Probably one of the things I am most proud of from my career is being able to support charities, to have a profile and to do something with it. I never took this job on for the fame, and I think if I didn't do something with the profile that I now have, I would be wasting this opportunity. So I have a good half dozen charities that are mine, that I'm either their patron of or I'm ambassador for, and I work really hard. And I figure if I take on a charity, it's all or nothing. You know, I will never take one on that I can't fully commit to. So I love it. I'm so proud, and I will do whatever I can for those guys. For all of those ones, I'm theirs, and I'm you know, if I can fit it in, I will. And then other ones that come up on a case-by-case basis, look, to be frank, if I can do it, I will. But if I can't, I've learnt to say no. you know, if it's a ball on a Saturday night for a charity that I don't really have an association with, then sometimes I politely say, look, I need a Saturday night at home with my husband and kids. Can you find somebody else? Whereas if it's one of my chosen ones that I've been looking up, you know, I've been working with for years and years and years, then absolutely I'll be there with a frock and do whatever I have to do for them. But I also tell my kids what I'm doing, and I hope that one day they'll respect their mum for it. I can say to them on a Saturday night, look, I'm going out with this fancy dress on to raise money for Westmead Children's Hospital tonight. So, you know, I've just become an ambassador for the Alana and Madeline Foundation, and I'm a patron for Make-A-Wish Foundation and one for World Vision. So if I can explain to my kids what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and I hope that they will, yeah, respect me for it, and also, I guess, grow up with their eyes open to the role that we can all play in doing things for other people and hopefully making a difference.
Talking of wonderful frock smell, now we have to talk about your Sunday style issue. You're on the front cover. Now, I love reading the Sunday papers, and I saw the magazine. I thought, who's that? And I had to do a double take. I think you look absolutely stunning in that shoot.
Thank you. God bless good lighting.
No, I mean, you said in the article that you've lost weight. How do you keep in shape, and how do you find the time to exercise?
Maybe I'm doing it more now than I have for a long time. You know, I think that for me, probably for the last decade, that's been hard. That's been one of the things I've dropped off, you know, trying to fit a job in and a family in and kids in. And I kind of had that attitude, oh, look, I'll worry about myself later. And I'm not saying that to be a martyr, but I was just a case of, you know, on a list of my top five things to do, you just bump yourself down. I think a lot of people do, and I certainly did. So now that I've got a little bit more time and I'm not getting up so early and I'm not as tired all the time, yeah, I've been going to the gym a couple of mornings a week and doing weights and trying to hop on the treadmill and, yeah, just feel a bit better. And, you know, let's be honest, I'm not getting any younger, so I think I kind of need to look after myself and get strong and feel fit. And the other thing that's really fun is I drop my daughter off at swimming a couple of mornings a week, and then I go to the gym while she's swimming, and then I pick her up on the way home and we have breakfast together. So I hope that that's a good, you know, I can be a good role model for her to say, yeah, we've got to look after ourselves and stay healthy. And, you know, it's not necessarily about weight. It's about being, you know, healthy and strong and having the stamina to get through the day and do all the things that you want to do. So I try to, you know, make sure I can be a positive role model for them in that area.
Mel, let's finish up with some quick fire questions. So your most favourite interview you've ever done?
My favourite
interview you've ever done.
Oh, gosh. Damn it, I can never answer that with one. I've had some really awesome, great celebrities. Tom Cruise was a huge movie star. Katy Perry was just gracious. Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden, we hit it off, and she invited me to lunch. They've been really cool. Hugh Jackman, I'm just in love with. But you know what? Yeah, exactly. But having said all of that, it's interviewing people. I met this girl called Hind last year. Sorry, I know this was meant to be a quick fire question, Leo. I can never do anything short.
That's all right.
I went over last year to do the cover of the Syrian refugee crisis, and I met a young girl, a 15-year-old girl called Hind, living in the Bekaa Valley in a tent in Lebanon, and she touched me in a way that has just, I will never ever forget meeting her. So it's probably meeting people who are like her. They're strong, they're incredibly brave. You know, meeting victims of the Victorian bushfires or the Queensland floods, and I guess seeing their strength and how they're so resilient, they're the people that have touched me the most that will stay with me forever. You know, the Hollywood celebs, sure, they're fun and they're cool and they make for good dinner party conversation. But for me as a human, it's the other ones, that the non-famous people that I've really, yeah, taken something away from, I think.
The most difficult story you've ever had to deliver on the news?
Oh, yeah, the emotional ones. Victorian bushfires, standing there on that day was just horrific. It broke my heart, you know, and that was really one of those occasions where I can remember crying on air and being so appalled with myself because I was a journalist.
No.
I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time thinking, you know what, I'm human and I'm glad that I have those emotions, because if ever I got so, I guess, so tough about it and didn't feel those things, then probably time to hang up the pen. So, yeah, sad stories like that, I think, are the hardest, without a doubt.
Out of these three gay icons, who would you like to interview and why? And we've got Barbara Streisand, Madonna or Cher?
Oh gosh, I can't pick one. They all fascinate me because they've had such amazing careers. You know, one of the interesting things I've found is usually the bigger the name, like the higher up the totem pole of celebrity and fame they are, the better they usually are as far as being down to earth and real. the really big names, the Stevie Nicks and the Kenny Rogers and the Kylie Minogues, and I'm trying to think of others, they're the ones that never say to you, don't ask me this, don't ask me that, you've got to be done in 4 minutes and blah, blah, blah. They're the ones that just sit back and go, okay, go for it. You know, I can remember Stevie Nicks having the most fascinating conversation, and he was a woman that just, she was open and there was nothing off limits, and she was so gracious and fascinating. So that always intrigues me. But having said all of that, all of them, Madonna really, really interests me. I the fact that she constantly reinvents herself and how she does that is fascinating. I know that Sunday Night did Cher recently, and what a woman. She was really cool.
Yeah,
so,
I love
you. But then Babs. Oh, my gosh, I can't pick one. Sorry, that was a bad answer, wasn't it?
Now, as a mum, what piece of advice would you give Justin Bieber right now?
Oh, my gosh, Justin Bieber. Yeah, just have a bit of time out, dude. Seriously. You know, it's really, I think fame is such a, it can be such a destructive force. You know, you can be a flash in the pan. You can have all this around you. I think they're so surrounded by people that tell them they're wonderful and they're the best thing since sliced bread and they have everything. And I think you can really quickly lose perspective. One of the things I've really tried hard in my life is, don't get me wrong, I'm not famous and I'm nowhere anywhere in those sort of categories. But I come home, I kick off my shoes, I take off my makeup, and I'm a mum and a wife and a friend, and my girlfriends I've had forever from school and uni, and they really don't give a rat's what I do for my job. And I kind of think you've got to stay grounded, and maybe some people need to make more of a conscious effort. Maybe he's one of them. But yeah, I think he needs to step away from everything for a little while and work out who he is away from all of that before he destroys himself. It's kind of sad to see someone
it
so young.
Sad.
And yeah, you just, you know, you don't want to have a bad outcome.
Now, Mel, put on your imaginary hat, because you're a happy married woman, but out of these three famous hotties, who would you go on a date with? Channing Tatum, Hugh Jackman, or Daniel Craig?
Oh, gosh, Hugh. Or Daniel.
Because I saw your interview with Hugh Jackman, and were you guys flirting a bit?
Hello. Couldn't I just try? Come on, I might be married, but I'm not dead.
So would he be your night pass?
I'd never do that. I have so much admiration for Hugh. I actually think, I love the fact that he's such a great guy and that he uses his fame for good. I think his wife is sensational. Deborah Lee Furness is such a top chick. There's no other way you can describe her. I just really think she's awesome. So, yeah, I really admire him. I've got to know him. We're both ambassadors for World Vision, and I just respect what he does. You know, he's a great guy. He's a good dad. He's obviously a nice husband. He's a lovely friend, but he does really good with his profile, and I admire that. Daniel Craig, hello. My gosh, when he got out of the
water. I know.
Sorry, did I say that a little bit too?
That's all right. You're between friends here on Joy 94.9. Now, Melissa Doyle's new book, Alphabet Soup, is in stores and online now. Check out Mel's website, melissadoyle.com.au. You can also follow her, like me, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mel, thanks so much for joining me this morning on the show.
My absolute pleasure, Leo. Lovely to chat.
You too. And when you're in Melbourne, make sure you come in to Joy 94.9, all right?
I'd love to come and say good day.
Yeah. All right, love. Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too. That's Melissa Doyle on Joy 94.9. Really, really great chick. Love her on, of course, on Sunrise and on the news. Coming up with some more hot music on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.